The next case is 05-1074, the Village of Silver Lake versus Metro Regional Transit Authority. Mr. Raskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court, may I please reserve 4 minutes in rebuttal time?
Watch your time there.
Thank you. Seated at the council table with me, Your Honors, is Robert Haydorn, the village solicitor from the Village of Silver Lake. We believe that the record demonstrates that there are two separate and distinct but related reasons why the decision, with all due respect to the Ninth District Court of Appeals, should be reversed. The first reason is the express language in Chapter 306 of the Ohio Revised Code. The second reason is the instructions that we receive from this court and the majority in DABE versus the Toledo Lucas County Board of Health, both as to rules of statutory construction as well as to grants of authority by the legislator to administrative agencies. Chapter 306.31 of the Ohio Revised Code contains the express grant of authority in creating a regional transit authority. It can be created for any one or more of the following purposes: acquiring, constructing, operating, maintaining, replacing, improving, and administering public franchises for the operation of transit facilities or existing transit facilities.
Council, let me interrupt you for a second just to help me get some of the setting, because it took me a while to try to understand it. This train does not stop in Silver Lake, it only passes through?
It does, Your Honor.
And this railroad, this dinner theater, only operates on weekends?
Well, it's never actually operated because of the injunction, but it was intended, according to its literature, to operate initially on Friday and Saturday evenings with lunch trains that might also run depending upon market conditions.
So the only effect on Silver Lake is that this train will pass through their burg, or whatever they call it, a couple times a weekend.
Well, it would have a rather substantial impact on the residents of Silver Lake.
In what way?
Well, there are 33 homes that are built contiguous to Route 8. When Route 8 was constructed or reconstructed, new Route 8 as we call it in Northeast Ohio, the Ohio Department of Transportation built a sound wall. Now bear in mind, at this point, Your Honor, these tracks had been abandoned and weren't used for many years. The sound wall was built between the freeway and the railroad tracks. So we have the freeway, the railroad tracks, the freeway, the sound wall, the railroad tracks, and 33 homes.
Okay.
So every time that train runs back and forth through that 1.5 miles of Silver Lake, two things happen. A huge amount of noise reverberates from that wall, which does a wonderful job of keeping the vehicular traffic down, and the horn sounds, the whistle sounds, as is required by federal law.
Okay, so they have a pretty, it was hard to understand from the briefs what the context was. That's very helpful, thank you.
You're welcome. And so if we look at Chapter 306.31 of the Ohio Revised Code, that's where the express grant of authority is.
Council, let me follow up
generic name for a little
along
time.
The same lines.
Thank you.
There's a railroad track running between Cuyahoga Falls and Silver Lake, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
It's on the dividing line. And trains used to run on that.
Yes, Your Honor, interstate rail and passenger
and
trains.
And the trains ran on it, presumably, while those houses existed.
They did.
Right. And then at some point, the operator of that line no longer used it, but it could have done anything with it. It could have sold it to another rail line that would have used it, could have turned it into a bike path, could have done lots of things with that. It has an ownership interest.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, and it transferred that ownership interest to the defendants here.
Yes, that is correct. Through the Rails and Trails program administered by the United States government. Okay. That is correct, Your Honor.
And you're essentially, this is not a zoning case as such, you're attacking the authority of this defendant to engage in the business they're engaging in. Is that right?
We are attacking the statutory authority of the Regional Transit Agency, Metro in this case, to engage in the subject transaction because it violates the express grant of statutory authority under RC 306.31.
And your clients are in the service area of this authority?
Yes.
So you have standing from that standpoint?
We have standing as determined by both the trial court and the Court of Appeals based upon the Declaratory Judgment Act, 2731 of the Ohio Revised Code, and as well as, I believe, also now because of the law of the case doctrine, Your Honor, because in affirming the decision of the trial court in assignment of error number 3, the Court of Appeals specifically ruled that Silver Lake had standing. That is not the subject of an appeal to this court. So I believe there are two separate and distinct reasons why the village has standing to assert its claims in this court before
the court. Mr. Raskin, this seems like a very straightforward case of statutory interpretation to me. As you say, point 31, it gives the authority to the transit authority to do the matters, the things that it can do. But they're all related to transit facilities. And so we have to look at the definition of transit facilities, it seems to me. And we look at point 30, and transit facility is a fairly limited, having as its primary purpose a regularly scheduled mass movement of passengers between locations within the territory. And then G, the Court of Appeals seemed to think that G in point 35 gives extended powers, but again, it's manage a transit facility, so we have to go back to the definition of a transit facility, and we wind up back in point 30 with this limited definition. Is that essentially your argument that the Court of Appeals missed that thread of statutory interpretation?
Absolutely. I wish I could have said
Honor did. That's the issue here. Of course, Mr. Funk is going to argue with that, but that seems to me that's the issue. It doesn't matter. All the facts really don't matter a whole lot, do they? It's a question of whether it's operating what they do, because obviously a restaurant train or whatever this is different than moving mass people from or mass transit system from one location to another. That is
precisely our argument, and it is for the very reason that, pursuant to the stipulations of the parties and the record that is before this court, that we know that this proposed dinner theater train does not have as its primary purpose the regularly scheduled mass movement of passengers within the geographic territory of the transit authority.
And here, I guess, the facts are significant because there is not the dinner train is not an incidental use of the rail line when it's not being used to move people. There are people being moved. It's not being used as a mass transportation system, as I understand. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. As a matter of fact, not being used at all and hasn't been used since Metro acquired the rail line in 1995. It hasn't been used, nor has it been maintained by Metro since 1995 when it acquired the rail line. And we know from the stipulations of the parties, for instance, stipulation number 6, that it's an excursion and entertainment venue. We know that it will operate at less than 10 miles per hour. We know that passengers will board and depart only at the point where they board. We know that there is no fixed date for the start of commuter rail service. And in fact, there's no certainty that commuter rail service will ever occur. And we know that there's no connection with interstate rail service. In fact, this dinner train, if it's ever permitted to operate, will actually operate for approximately 2.5 to 3 hours, and this is in stipulation number 20, over 6.5 miles. According to my math, that's less than 3 miles per hour, or less than a fast-paced walk. So no one could reasonably argue, in my opinion, that this constitutes the mass movement of passengers within the geographic territory of the Regional Transit Authority, and for that reason, it can't qualify as an express grant of authority consistent with Chapter 306.30 and 306.31 of the revised code.
Although, Council, didn't the Court of Appeals look at it more broadly and emphasize maintaining and improving and extending the operation of the transit facility? And if you take that position and look at it as a kind of a futuristic way of making sure that mass transit will be possible through this lease to a private entity, I mean, you could arguably at least make that suggestion.
Well, I think you could make that suggestion, Your Honor. However, I think that it would be misplaced, and this is why. The lease is also a part of the record in this case. It's it's Exhibit M to the stipulations. And in the lease, we know several things. First of all, in Section 2.5 of the lease, there is no requirement for any minimum maintenance at all of these tracks other than for the purposes of operating this train, which is going to go at less than 10 miles per hour, hardly commuter rail service. We also know that there's no realistic likelihood of any significant revenue to be generated, because the lease also provides that the rent to Metro will be 5% of the net sales. And in Exhibit B to the lease, in Section 2.5 of the lease, there is a reference to additional maintenance that would be required of the vendor, in this case, the Michigan Railroad Company. But in fact, Exhibit B is blank. So if you look at the lease in its entirety, what we see is no guaranteed stream of revenue at all, no guaranteed maintenance to the railroad tracks, and an organization which, although it has owned the railroad tracks since 1995, hasn't expended any money at all in maintaining those tracks and has no intention, either now or in the foreseeable future, of ever running commuter rail on those tracks. Mr. Chief Justice, if there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the remainder of the time, please.
Thank you, Mr. Raskin. Mr. Funk. Mr. Funk, I've been trying to think of a way to make your argument for you, but I haven't been able to, so I guess you'll have to make your own argument.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. Again, Stephen Funk, Retzel and Andrus, on behalf of Metro Regional Transit Authority. With me today is my partner, Amy Brueggemann. And I agree that the issue presented here today is a simple issue of statutory interpretation. And the statute really to focus on is 306.35, which sets forth 29 duties and powers of a regional transit authority. And if you look at all those powers and duties, what they really are trying to do is enable a regional transit authority to carry out necessary contractual and proprietary rights.
But aren't those all related to, G is a good example, aren't those all related to transit facilities, and don't we have to go back to the isn't the problem here that the General Assembly has not changed the definition of transit facility to make it broader, which makes some sense as a policy issue, but I don't see it in the statute. It's all related to transit facilities, and if you go back, there's that definition of point 30.
Well, let me answer your question with two answers, Your Honor. First, 306.30, which defines transit facilities, is a very broad definition. And if you look at that definition, it's intended to define physical infrastructure, street railways, rights of way is one of the items. So there's no question that the Akron Secondary Line itself is a transit facility. In other words, the railroad tracks were purchased with federal funds for the purposes of mass transportation purposes, preserving the line for future transportation options. There's no question that they have the right to purchase the transit facilities. What they're seeking to do is pursuant to 3605 or 306.35G is then continue to carry on that purpose by leasing, which 306.35G provides, the transit facilities in a manner that's considered necessary to accomplish the purposes of the organization. The second answer to your question, Your Honor, is to look at 306.35J, which is not in reference to transit facilities, and which says that a transit authority also has the right to construct, own, lease as the lessee or lessor, use or sell real and personal property. There's lots of properties that Metro would own other than transit facilities. and they are entitled to lease those facilities if necessary to accomplish the purposes of the organization. And this is clearly a situation where the lease, they're not going out and just trying to do a commercial development for its own sake. They're using this lease as a mechanism to forward the goals of the organization, which is to use these tracks by transferring responsibility to a private party to maintain the tracks to ensure that they will continue to be used in the future.
In J, Council of Transit Facilities is referred to, words are used twice in that section. Territory boundaries, the location, protection of transit facilities, improvement access to transit facilities. Again, if we go back to transit facility.
Well, Your Honor, I submit that this is a transit facility, but beyond that, J is written extraordinarily broad to include everything. Transit facilities, any real or personal property.
So you think that the right to deal in personal property or real property is not related to maintaining and sustaining an adequate mass transit facility, or as it's defined in point 30, that it suggests something different?
I think it's adding to. In other words, it's not just, the only thing that Metro does is not just own and operate transit facilities. It owns lots of real and personal property. And as like any owner of property, they have the rights incumbent with that, which are granted by state law. The right to enter into contracts, the right to lease, the right to sell property. For example, in this situation, the Akron Secondary Line, they purchased the property with federal funds. They can also sell the property. They could sell it to a private end user. If they have the right to sell it, why don't they have the right to lease it? And the important thing to remember here, Your Honor, is that this state law is not intended to restrict authority. The purpose of this state law was to enable local regional transit authorities to take advantage of the federal funds that are available. This was passed in 1970s when federal funds became available for mass transit. So,
but again, mass transit is the phrase here that you have to focus on, and the intent was, you know, for this federal legislation, for an alternative form of transportation for goods and individuals, and to see whether a rail system could be, if not revived, at least sustained. And here, you've got a dinner car that isn't really taking anybody from point A to point B and having them disembark from the train and then go on their way, so it's an actual transportation. It's an environment created to go back and forth and experience a real car.
Your Honor, I would encourage you to look at the FTA policy, which is attached to our brief. This is a highly regulated area, and what that FTA policy talks about is in order to advance the goal of preserving rail infrastructure throughout the country, one of the things that the FTA encourages is that when you purchase these rail lines, they recognize that you would not necessarily have to use it immediately for mass transit purposes. So what they said is, we want to encourage you to enter into joint development projects to lease the property to other private end users for a temporary basis, so long as you do two things. You retain continuing control over the line, because they'd rather have you lease it than to sell it and lose the future transportation option. And then they want to make sure that it retains functional control so that it can revert back at some later point to a mass transit purpose. So, for example, in this situation, both of those goals are being accomplished. You're allowing a private end user to use it so that they maintain and continue to keep the tracks functioning, as well as allowing for the Metro to retain continuing control and preserving the line so that it later could be reverted back to mass transit use.
There's no requirement that there be a overarching plan that is explained in order to allow for this interim use.
And again, it does not violate the federal policy. And I don't think this state wants to be in a position where we're having a state law that is restrictive and less restrictive than what federal law would provide. Because federal funds are available for purchases of these tracks. And then once you purchase these tracks, federal law allows you to use them for interim uses that would advance the goals of mass transit. Now, what I read 306.35, I don't see restrictive language in there. I see enabling language. It's an enabling statute. And that's why, Your Honor, they mentioned the DAB case. This case is fundamentally different than the DABE case, because DABE, if you remember, involves a situation where a local board of health is instituting by administrative regulation a ban on smoking in public places. They're exercising regulatory power to restrict the conduct of private citizens. Here, Metro is simply seeking to exercise its own proprietary rights with respect to its own property. It owns the property. It has the right to sell the property, to lease the property, and to buy the property in the first place. And so it's a fundamentally different situation, and the statute needs to be read broadly to as an enabling statute as opposed to a regulatory statute.
Counsel, the lease itself, opposing counsel looked at section 2.5 and said, when we look at it, there's no requirement of a minimum income stream, there's no requirement, or guaranteed income rather, and no requirement of minimum maintenance, which would you comment on that? Does that affect your comments about the FTA policy and encouraging this type of activity?
Yeah, I could be happy to comment to that. Your Honor, you can look, it's quoted in our briefs on page 13 and 14, but you can look at the lease itself. One is that under section 2.5 of the lease agreement, the tenant has agreed to perform certain upgrades to existing facilities. And the key thing here is to assume financial responsibility for the ongoing repair, replacement, and maintenance obligations. Okay, that's the key thing. And then also, in accordance with federal law, the tenant has agreed that Metro will continue to have the right to use or authorize a third party to use the line for future purposes, and that the private party will concede control back over to Metro and not do anything to the railroad line itself that will interfere with or impede that future passenger or freight service. And that's in section Article 21. So both of the key components are there. And the key one is the second one, actually, for purposes of federal law, because what the federal government's saying is you can use it in the interim just as long as you don't destroy the ability for it to be reverted back for mass transit and you have continuing control. And that's why leasing is a preferred option over selling. Although you could sell it as well, if that's another option. And again, I ask you to look at the FTA policy, because it does make a lot of policy sense. And again, you got to remember here is that Metro is not operating in a freestanding way here. They're operating, this line was purchased with federal funds. There are FTA policies and guidelines that govern the use of this property. And so I think it's important for this court to be an enabling court and not to restrict regional transit authorities in a way that federal law would permit.
I take it from your argument that if the General Assembly were to change the definition of transit facility to be broad enough to include uses such as you've suggested, that change would not jeopardize federal funding for this rail system.
I think the original statute as it was drafted was drafted as broad as it possibly could be to enable the use of funds for federal purposes. I guess we have a disagreement, because I believe that the statute is for definition of transit facilities talks about the rights of way, railroad infrastructure. Clearly, this is the Akron Secondary Line itself is a transit facility. But if you look at 306.35 as a statute as a whole, it recognizes that regional transit authorities are going to own other property. Real property.
Again, that can be owning of other property can be incident to the viability of the purpose of the rail line, which is mass transit. I mean,
that's what this is certainly that situation. They bought the line to preserve it for future transportation options. They did it with federal funds. So what they're doing then is, in order to advance that goal, they're taking the next step. They're leasing it temporarily so that a private party will assume the obligation of maintaining and preserving the line, preserving the transit facility, if you might, Your Honor, so that it can advance that goal while still retaining control to enable future options. Your Honor, under your interpretation, Metro would be required to use the line immediately upon purchase for mass transit use. That's not the goal that is being sought to advance here. The goal is to preserve so that there are future transportation options.
Well, does the record, if I missed it in the brief, it was in the brief, is there, in the, is there, if, is there evidence in the record that there is intention to revive this the system so that it is a mass transit system?
Well, Your Honor, in it.
That's why you're trying to keep it alive by this leasing?
In the record are resolutions and also a letter from ODOT that approved the purchase of the Akron Secondary Line. It's clear from the record that the Akron Secondary Line was purchased in order to preserve the line for future transportation options. Okay, without that, these transportation infrastructure would be lost. So that's why the federal funding is there for this purpose, and Metro is continuing to retain ownership. If they had no intention of using it in the future, then they would just sell it. They want to retain ownership in order to accomplish the mass transportation options, to preserve it for future options. And that's why they're only temporarily leasing it so that they can advance these goals in a way that's consistent with federal policy and is enabled by state law. I'd ask this court, this is an important issue statewide. We have amicus briefs on this. There are a lot of joint development projects going on that are enabled by federal law that I think fall within the broad scope of powers provided by state law. And there, this court needs to act carefully in making sure that regional transit authorities are enabled to do these things.
What other areas can regional transit go into other than dinner trains?
Well, for example, we have the in our neck of the woods, we have the Cuyahoga Scenic Railroad. There's actually a stipulation on this issue. Metro, for example, with federal funding and the blessing of ODOT and the Federal Transit Administration, purchased cars that are then leased to the Cuyahoga Scenic Railroad for purposes of a scenic railroad through the Cuyahoga Valley National Park. Metro also owns the line. So it's not currently being used as a, for example, potentially in the future, it could be used as a high-speed railroad line between Cleveland and Akron. But in the interim, it's being used as a scenic railroad.
And your view is that, sort of in line with Chief Justice's position, these are transit facilities, and they are being maintained through the vehicle of these leases for purposes other than mass transit of individuals on a commuter basis.
Correct, and that's certainly enabled by the language of Ohio Revised Code, which talks about leasing as being an option. Certainly, if it's going to be operated as mass transit, 35. You're not going to be leasing. You're going to be owning and operating. And I think that if you read the language the way it's intended, I think it's intended to be broad to enable these transit authorities to do these things.
Thank you.
Council, how long is the lease for, please?
I would look at that. I don't know the answer to your question for
but
that.
But it is a time certain when you say
yes.
Temporarily.
And the key thing is if you look at Article 21, it retains the right of Metro to come in at any time.
Okay.
So that if another opportunity came along, or if they decided, need to go forward with a high-speed rail or whatever, they can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Funk.
Thank you, Your Honor. And again, I think the Court of Appeals did an excellent job in this case of writing an opinion that was well-reasoned and faithful to the statutory language, and I'd ask the Court to affirm it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Raskin, you've saved a little more than 3.5 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The Transit Authority is simply trying to preserve this line or this part of the line so that in the future it can be a mass transit system. Mr. Funk, I think, suggests that, at least it was one purpose of this lease. You agree?
No, I don't agree based upon the specific terms of the lease. I understand that may have been the Transit Authority's goal. But even if that were the Transit Authority's goal, Your Honor, it still has to act in a manner consistent with the express grant of authority that it was given under Chapter 306.30 and 306.31 of the Revised Code. And because this specific use does not have as its primary purpose the mass movement of passengers within the geographic territory of the Regional Transit Authority, it is not a transit facility.
Sort of I keep getting hung up on a common sense look at mass transit. You seem to read into mass transit the necessity of going from point A to B for some commercial or business purpose and not just a purpose of pleasure.
Your Honor, I read only what the legislature wrote, and what the legislature wrote was its definition of mass transit, and that is the mass movement of passengers. And
if you have a whole bunch of people get on a train on point A, travel around and come back to point A, why isn't that a mass movement of people?
I think it might very well be.
Is the scenic railroad that's being operated at mass transit, in your opinion?
We don't have enough of a record to really answer that specifically. I do know that the scenic railroad runs for 25 miles and has multiple stops going to Cleveland, Akron, and Canton. I also know that the scenic railroad is not operated by a regional transit authority or leased by a regional transit authority. The scenic railroad is actually operated by a nonprofit railroad commission.
If I get on a trolley in San Francisco and go around and visit and then come back to point A and disembark where I got on, am I in a vehicle of mass transport?
Yes, I think that is a vehicle of mass transit, and the legislature defines it as such because one of the definitions of mass transit or of a transit facility is a trackless trolley, and that's contained right in the statutory section.
But if I get in a train and see a scenic view out my window from point A, coming back to point A, but I eat dinner at the same time, it's not mass transit?
Not in the context of this case, Your Honor, because in this case we have two dining cars, a couple of locomotives, and a kitchen car, and no one is going to use this particular train to commute anywhere.
So you have to actually commute to qualify under mass transit.
And I believe that's exactly what the statute says. Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, can one of these transit authorities acquire lands developed or undeveloped for future right-of-way use?
No, I don't believe that they can, Your Honor. I think that a transit authority can acquire land incidental to a transit facility because the definition in the statute of a transit facility includes the buildings and lands appurtenant thereto. But I don't.
So they couldn't say there's an alley or a street that's about to be abandoned or some other rail right-of-way, existing rail right-of-way that's about to be disposed of or abandoned for sale to the public. They couldn't acquire that and hold it for future use?
They could acquire that if they're going to use it for future use as part of a transit system, which is part of a transit facility. But in this case, this particular Akron secondary line is not part of a transit system and not part of a transit facility because by the statutory definition, it is not engaged as its primary purpose, the mass movement of passengers within the geographic territory of
but
the regional
that's
transit
not,
authority.
I'm not asking about its present use. I'm asking about, you would agree then that they could have acquired this and left it dormant?
Yes.
For future use?
Yes. And if I said otherwise, forgive me.
All right. So then you would have us interpret the statutes that if they acquire an abandoned rail line, that they could leave it dormant, but if they decided we want to gin up some revenue off of this until such time as we're ready to do mass transit on it, that they could not do that.
That is correct, because the legislature has not given the Regional Transit Authority that express grant of power.
To earn revenues off of its holdings.
That is correct, unless it is earning revenues off of a transit facility. Under those circumstances,
I assume it can earn revenues off of bonds.
Oh, it can raise revenues, but I understood your question, Your Honor, to be how the transit authority could utilize its assets to earn revenues as opposed to raise revenues through taxation or bonds.
Well, no, I'm meaning investment, another investment. You can't look at this as a real estate investment and say, while they're holding this real estate, they're prohibited from earning money on the holding.
Well, quite frankly, Your Honor, I think that the Regional Transit Authority isn't authorized to own real estate as a real estate investment unless it is incidental to the operation of a transit facility and the mass movement of passengers within the geographic area. As a matter of fact, that's the position that the appellee takes in this case. If you take the logical extreme of the appellee's position, then COTA could buy the Columbus Blue Jackets and the arena in which they play, arguing that we run buses to the arena. Metro could buy the Akron Arrows and the stadium in which they play, arguing, well, under 306.35, we can own real estate and personal property, and we run buses to the stadium. The Southwestern Transit Authority could do the same thing and buy Kings Island, and one might argue that the roller coasters at Kings Island move more passengers than this mystery dinner theater train.
Mr. Raskin, let me interrupt you to ask you to respond to something a little less speculative than that. Mr. Funk has cited us to the FTA policy, and it I'd like your response. It does seem to support the argument that which seems to be a change in the policy that can lease the property for incidental, non-interfering use by others while the property is held for future identified transit use, or they can undertake. They, meaning the transit authority, they can undertake a transit-oriented joint development of the property. Now, whether we can use that language to try to identify or try to broaden the rather tight term that the General Assembly has used to identify transit facilities, I'm not sure. But that does seem to suggest that an incidental use that is designed to keep the tracks and the property in a state that they can be, while property is held for future identified transit use. What's your response to that argument?
Well, we've addressed that argument at page 8 of our reply brief, okay. Your Honor. And we've set out all of the elements which were not included in the appellee's brief with regard to the FTA requirements. And the FTA requirements include a transit element. And a transit element, as defined in the Code of Federal Regulations, transit is defined as mass transit by bus, rail, or other conveyance. So I'm not sure that there's a disagreement. In other words, the FTA certainly would allow for an incidental use while this track is waiting for mass transit. But that doesn't mean that the incidental use can contradict the explicit grant of legislative authority that the Ohio Legislature has given the regional transit authorities of this state.
You've used your time.
That's what I thought. Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted to make sure there weren't any other questions. Thank you so much for your time and attention.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll